Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to pray that we all might see the Christmas message afresh this evening. Amen.
Amen.
Well, giving Christmas presents is a safe way to show our love for friends and family. But people can show love for friends and family in all kinds of crazy ways. I don't know if you've heard of the true story from earlier this year of Mr. Lou. Probably my favourite story of 2022. A 39-year-old man from the eastern coastal province of China who was admitted to hospital with back pain. Mr. Liu's medical report showed pathological changes in his chest, abdomen, liver, digestive system, but were unable to identify the cause, one of the doctors reported. We repeatedly asked him if he had ever eaten game or anything unusual, anything that could cause allergies, and he said no to them all. It was only after Mr. Liu's wife mentioned that he had eaten something special, the man confessed he had actually eaten a whole live crab. The doctor asked him why, and Mr. Liu replied, "I wanted to take revenge for my daughter." It turns out that 2 months prior, Mr. Liu's daughter was pinched by a small crab when they were crossing a stream, and Mr. Liu decided there was no other option but to eat the crab. More blood tests showed that as a result, Mr. Liu had at least 3 parasitic infections as well as the internal damage. The doctors have since issued warnings about eating live crabs. Well, perhaps this Christmas time, Mr. Liu will stick with giving a Christmas present to his daughter as a way of showing his love for her. Much safer, hey? Well, this evening, I want us to look at God's love for us, given in the ultimate Christmas present. And let me say, at first sight, this Christmas present seems like a crazy way for God to show his love for us. It may be here, you're here this evening, and you are someone who actually struggles to believe in a God. Well, let me say you're very welcome here. And I find that so many people today struggle to believe in God because of how they've been led to imagine God. Many people see God, I don't know, as a kind of strict head teacher, distant and far from us, a God who likes to tell us off and zap us when we're naughty. But that is so different to the God we meet in Isaiah chapter 9. That very first reading we had tonight, printed there in your service sheets. Just glance if you've got it open in front of you to the very last line of that reading. It ends, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The word zeal is a powerful word in the original. It speaks of passionate, determined love. And what these verses before show us is God's passionate, determined love for us. And that love comes to us in the form of a baby boy. Verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." God's ultimate Christmas present is the birth of a baby boy. And to see why it's so ultimate, we need to understand what was going on at Isaiah's day. So come back with me 700 years before the birth of Jesus, back to the time of the prophet Isaiah who was writing these words, and let us see his day. You see, in his day, it was a day of no hope. The chapter before our reading ends with this line, "And they will look to the earth, but behold the stress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into the thick darkness." Well, we live, don't we, today in a very different time and place to Isaiah. But so often our world feels like that, doesn't it? It feels like a gloomy place. I was speaking to a man the other week who said, it feels like there's no hope at the moment. And we have been through so much with COVID. We hoped on the other side it would be amazing. But 2022, what have we had? We've had our queen dying. We've had the cost of living crisis. The economy tanking, worries over strep A for parents, And worst of all, England's totally unfair exit from the World Cup, Argentina should have been us today. Even Tesco have picked up the mood of the nation. Have you seen their Christmas ad for 2022? Begins, doesn't it? Britain, there is a joy shortage. And apparently a slightly cheaper Christmas turkey will fix the problem. But what was happening in Isaiah's day was way worse than what we experience today in 2022. The Assyrian superpower was on the march, ruthlessly crushing whole populations, killing men, taking the women, putting people into forced labour. It was devouring now through the land of Israel. Only the capital city, Jerusalem, would be left, and it was going to be under siege. God's people are hanging on by a thread. The glory days were gone, and as they looked to the future, all they saw was gloom and darkness. They feared starvation, captivity, a violent death. And let me say, that is what war does, isn't it? War ruins everything. This year we've seen the images from Ukraine, and many in that land this year will be without power and heating, worried about the future, grieving the loss of loved ones. What a way to spend Christmas. War ruins our world. But war isn't just something which happens far away in Ukraine. War actually happens at every level in our world, doesn't it? With our strong-willed toddler, most mealtimes feel like a war zone. More seriously, so many have bitterly divided families, brothers and sisters against each other. Nationally, we've got strikes on our hands at the moment. Workers against the government. We've even got government ministers against government ministers, locked in power struggles. And we've even had our royal family against each other in a very public way. War's not just between nations. It happens at every level in our world and ruins everything. It's just over 100 years ago since the famous Christmas truce in World War I. Do you know about that story? German and British soldiers decide at Christmas time to lay down their arms, they cross no man's land, and they start swapping each other gifts. I think the Germans bring a barrel of beer, I was told. They show photos to each other and loved ones. They even end up singing carols. And best of all, they play a football match. I'm afraid it's bad news there as well. The Germans won 3-2. I mean, it's incredible. But then, you know, the very next day, the senseless killing resumes. What we long for in this world is real, lasting peace at every level. Well, don't we long for that for our war-torn world? And that is the promise of Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 1, there will be no more gloom and no more anguish. Verse 2, where there was darkness, now there will be light. Verse 3 promises a new future world of happiness and growth and prosperity. And it will all come about in verse 4 and 5 because war will be no more. Do we not all long for a world of perfect peace like that? Well, that's what God promises here, and it's a promise we're all invited to believe. England's World Cup player, Bukayo Saka, was interviewed a while back and said this: I grew up in a Christian family who believed strongly in God. This always made me curious to get to know God more, and I've done so by reading my Bible a lot and going to church a lot over the years. My faith is constantly being exercised when I'm put in different situations or I play in big matches. He goes on to say that the key to faith is holding on to God's promises. Let me say, if Saka can cling to God's promises, then so could you. Isaiah is saying, lift our eyes above this world to God's promise of a new world to come. But how will it come? How will it come? Well, it's not through UN peacekeepers or long hours of negotiations. The answer is in this baby boy. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Well, we had a baby boy born back in May this year, but the baby mentioned here is way more important. For this baby will rule forever as the king who will end all war. Isaiah is speaking of the coming of Jesus Christ 700 years in advance. And verse 7 says he will reign on David's throne. David was Israel's greatest king, establishing justice and peace. But here is a greater king. And the reason this child can be that great king is because of who he is. Those titles are amazing, aren't they? Wonderful Counselor. He's going to have God-like wisdom to know how to sort out every situation. Mighty God. He is no less than God, and he will have the power to sort out every situation. Everlasting Father. He will have a father-like care and compassion to his people. A love that will never fail, because he will never fail. Prince of Peace. He will come with God-like authority to establish peace. He himself is peace through and through, and so everything he does is all about bringing peace. Four titles saying this king has got the know-how, the power, the heart, and the authority to build a new world of perfect peace. And all four titles, in their different ways, speak of how he is God himself. The good news is that at Christmas time, he came down into our world. And because this one is God, his kingdom will last forever. Verse 7, there will be no end to his reign. Verse 7, from this time forth and forevermore, there will be peace. This is no temporary fix. This is the ultimate answer to the problems of our war-torn world. And so it's in this baby we see God's passionate, determined love. What a wonderful message of Christmas. It's this, isn't it, that our God was born into our war-torn world so he could build a new world of perfect peace, a world that will last forever. Incredible, incredible. I mean, we've messed up this world, turning against each other, and God's first thought was not to judge the world. God's first thought was to step down into this world and be born as a baby. Seems like crazy love, doesn't it? Crazy love. He chooses to be born as a baby into a war zone. His choice. But it's not crazy, because he's done it to fix the mess. Now, you may struggle to believe in a God, but if you were going to believe in a God, would you not want to believe in a God like that? A God so driven by his passionate, determined love, he steps into our war-torn world. This is why a baby boy is God's Christmas present of love for us. You want to know whether there is a God who made you and made the world, who cares for you, who wants the best for you, and that your life matters and it's going somewhere? Well, Isaiah says, look at that baby lying in a manger at the first Christmas. It was promised 700 years in advance so we can know it's true. And no wonder as he grows up, this baby, he goes around preaching that God's kingdom has arrived, and he performs miracles of snapshots, if you like, of the world to come, which is promised in him. And with mere words, he calms storms, he heals the blind, he raises the dead. In fact, in our last reading from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's telling us how he is fulfilling Isaiah chapter 9. Now sure, the ultimate completion awaits the future, when he returns. But already, he's been born into our world. Already he lived, already he died, already he was raised from the dead, already he was taken up into heaven to rule as king forever. And now on the throne, what's he doing? He's gathering people from all over the world into his kingdom. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no ends. And so let me ask you this Christmas, do you want in? It will mean bowing before this baby. I mean, this year we've had this baby born, but no one has come and bowed in worship before our baby. But when Jesus was born, wise men, royalty, travelled from the east all the way to him and bowed before his throne. It might not seem like much, but it was the masterstroke of the plan. In recent weeks, news outlets have delighted in pointing to the 2021 census results that now under 50% of the population tick the I'm a Christian box. But let me suggest tonight the reason so many don't believe in him is that he came as a baby. A baby is easy to ignore as adults, but it was the masterstroke of the plan. To see why, ask this question: what causes all the wars and conflicts of this world? Well, Isaiah gave the answer to that question. Isaiah gave it in earlier chapters, and he said, the answer is human pride. We don't see pride as something which describes a certain kind of people. The kind of people who love to show off. You know, people like that love to talk about themselves. And if we're not like that, I know what I'm like. I love to look down on those kinds of people. And I say, well, I'm not like that. I'm better than that. But that is pride in itself, isn't it? It's saying that I'm better than that person. And human pride is saying that I am better, I know better than the God who made me. It's us declaring war on our God. And it's the deep problem in all of us. When we look at Putin over in Russia, our natural reaction to think is, well, I'm not like him. I'm not like him. But actually, we all share the same human nature. It's human pride that drives him, it's human pride that drives you, and it's human pride that drives me. And it's why we live in a war-torn world. When we have 7 billion people walking around this planet saying, I'm God of my little world, then it's obvious that there will be war at every level. But the masterstroke of God's plan is that God comes as a little baby into this world. And that means the swallowing of human pride. Instead of God exalting himself, making himself big, God does the opposite. He humbles himself and makes himself small as a baby. And to be part of God's new world of perfect peace promised here in Isaiah is to be part of a kingdom that turns human pride on its head. We can only be part of that kingdom if we swallow human pride and accept that baby as our God. Only when the human pride has been swallowed in that way and it's turned on its head can we be part of a new world where there's no more war. The way our God ends all wars is not by coming with a big army, but by coming as a baby. It's what he must do. It's what the passionate, determined love of God must do. And so let me finish by asking you this question. This Christmas time, will you unwrap God's ultimate Christmas present of love? It seems like crazy love. God's present is a baby lying in a manger. And what's inside that present is life in God's new world forever.